pain. I am not yet satiated. True son, engaging. You smut your vacha in the words Harikatha of the topics of the Supreme Lord. Hari. Amritam, the nectar. Samsara, of material existence. Tapam, by the misery. Nishtaptam, tormented. Martya, immortal human. Tatapa, of that pain. Vesajam, the medical treatment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Sorry. Translation. Although I am drinking the nectar of your statements about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my thirst is not yet satiated. Such nectarian descriptions of the Lord and His devotees are the actual medicine for the conditioned souls like me, who are tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence. Please repeat. Although I am drinking the nectar of your statements about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my thirst is not yet satiated. Such nectarian descriptions of the Lord and His devotees are the actual medicine for conditioned souls like me, who are tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, one may argue that since the symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord have already been elaborately described, one can perfect his life by advancing to the platform mentioned in the previous verse. That doesn't refer to the verse of this chapter, previous text one, but I think it's the last verse of the last chapter. We'll get to that. And there is no need for further questions. In other words, one may argue like that, according to Sridhar Swami. One can argue like that. By Harikatamritam, topics about the Lord and His devotees, but Harikatamritam, topics about the Lord and His devotees, are so pleasing and beautiful that one cannot give up hearing them even after spiritual liberation. Isn't it the Srimad Bhagavatam, the word Srimad refers to beautiful Bhagavatam? Have you heard that? It's confirmed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this connection, has quoted the following verse. Atmaramas chamunayo nigranta apyurukrame kurvantyahai tukim bhaktim itam puta uno harihi. Translation, or paraphrase. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, seventh chapter, text 10. Material medicine is not desirable once a disease has been cured, but on the absolute platform, the means and the end are non-different. So chanting and hearing the glories of Lord Krishna are both the means and the end of transcendental bliss. King Nimi said to the sages, "You are all great, saintly persons absorbed in love of Godhead. Therefore, although you will speak about Maya or illusion, the conclusion will undoubtedly be Krishna consciousness. Please don't think that you have already explained everything to me. The intoxicating nectar of your instructions has left me more eager than ever to hear about the personality of God." King Nimi was also a great devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, there would have been no question of his personally conversing with such exalted living entities as the nine Yogendras. This is Nava Yogendra, and you just a few days ago, I think Nava Yogendra Swami. So getting it from all sides. But as a humble Vaishnav, he considered himself an ordinary conditioned soul. This is referring to Maharaj Nimi. He considered himself an ordinary conditioned soul covered by material designations. Thus he showed his eagerness to understand the actual nature of Maya in order to be safe from her future attempts to place him in the burning fire of material existence. I don't know if there's a history of how King Nimi was tested in the future. I don't think we have that information. But that applies to all of us. So we should always be brace ourselves and be strict enough that we're ready for the inevitable tests from Maya. It's like King Nimi. He's protecting himself by taking shelter of Krishna Katha. Om Gyanati Miranda Syaj Ananjana Shalakaya Chakshumiditanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. Although I am drinking the nectar of your statements about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my thirst is not yet satiated. Such nectarian descriptions of the Lord and his devotees are the actual medicine for conditioned souls like me, who are tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence. So we'll discuss something about Krishna Katha and in general spiritual sound vibration. Crystallized, concentrated in Harinam, the holy names of the Lord. We'll briefly give a little background about the Atmarama verse, which Prabhupada quotes in today's purport. First, a couple of points coming out of the actual translation, then we'll get into the purport. Pick out a few passages, phrases, and try to analyze a little bit or expand it. So King Nimi, one thing that I guess that what we'll go through will kind of like apply to pretty much the whole class is two aspects of Hari Katha or Krishna Katha, two effects. One is that it relieves the hearer from the miseries of material life. And the other effect is that he doesn't become, as we're hearing here, he doesn't become satiated. He doesn't become satisfied in the sense of, you know, like fed up, like he doesn't want anymore. Sometimes we hear, I'm not satisfied. There's a deep satisfaction. But it's not to the point of satiation, you know, satiation, I don't know, Spanish, saciar, that one just can't deal with anymore. So there are two aspects. One is that actual Krishna Katha, can we say spiritual sound vibration in general, is not, it serves to relieve us from material miseries. And the other is that it's always attractive, it's always pleasurable, it's always nectarian. It's like we're hearing in today's verse, in the case of King Nimi, he's very enlivened to go on hearing. Now, most of you are familiar with the right medicine verse that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, first we'll talk a little bit about the effect it has to relieve the living entity from material miseries. That's 10.1.4. Let's see if I remember it. It's Nivritti Tarshaid Upamiyamana. What is it? Bhavo Siddhat Stotra Mano Biramat Yadutama Shloka Gunana Vadat Puran Vidacheta Vina Kushugnat. Kushugnat, that's an interesting word. Butcher, Pashugnat, one who's slaughtering pashus or animals. I mentioned, I think, in a class here before, but it bears repeating, that the translation says that, well, okay, who will not, this is the right medicine, even for those who are determined and are already satiated, we could say, or disgusted or finished with material pleasures and so-called happiness in the material world. So the right medicine to actually relieve us of bhava, and that means repeated birth and death, is the aushadi, the medicine of Krishna Katha. And that should be heard through the cyclic succession. And who would not hear it? There's only two kinds of people, but the same sense is there, Pashugna. One is a butcher who literally, taking it more literally, killing animals. And the other is one who's killing his own self. Here, Ishopanishad and other places of Atmaha. In Bhagavatam also there's Atmaha. The one who's killing his own self. But there's only one Sanskrit term. But it kind of works, because if one is not taking the spiritual life, which is the purpose of the human form of life, then is he really better than an animal? So when you hear Pashugna, who's killing an animal, it works also as a killing your own self. If I'm not interested in Krishna Katha, then, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of life, am I really more than Pashu? I hope you catch that. So, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? So Krishna Katha relieves one of all material miseries. There are many references to that in Bhagavatam. The conclusion, I think, is like the last, one of the very last, if not the last, statements of Shukadeva Goswami in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, 23rd verse. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Panamo Dukkha Shamanas Tan Namami Harin Padam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. We have also in the first canto, 1.1.16, Kova Bhagavatastasya Punya Shlokeja Karmanaha Sudhi Kamo Nashrinu Yad Yashak Kali Malapaham. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord. It's interesting. Sudhi Kamo. Here, you know, this Mukti Kama, Kamish, Mukti Kama, etc. Siddhi Kama. But this is Shuddhi Kama, one who has the desire to become purified or cleansed from the contaminations of this age of Kali. Kali Malapaham means the means of deliverance, which is Krishna Katha. And of course, there's the famous Apanaksam Shuti Guram Janama Vivasho Vinan. How does it go? Yad Bidetti Svayam Vayam, the one about that even if one chants unconsciously, not fully attentive, the holy name of the Lord, Vivasho Vinan, Then, Apanaksham Shati Goran, one is relieved from all the complicated meshes of karma, of birth and death. Why is that? Because the holy name, non-different from Krishna, is Yad Bibeti Svayambayam, is feared even by fear personified. There are many references to how the spiritual sound vibration, particularly Krishna Katha, delivers us from all material sufferings and entanglements. And then the other aspect is the all-attractive. Krishna's all-attractive. Descriptions of Krishna are all-attractive. Vayam tu na vatipyama tumashloka vikrame yakshin vatar asagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. I'll read the exact translation. This is 1.119 Bhagavatam, of course. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. There's also a verse that most of you may not be so familiar with, but it's in Bhagavatam and also in the 12th canto. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasam Rita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Rati Vachit. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. I think on Saturday, Pushpar Prabhu mentioned very briefly, Kinva Parai Ishvarai, the second verse of the Bhagavatam. What need is there of any other scripture? Not only is there no other need, but there's not even any attraction, according to this verse in Bhagavatam. Okay. So the point is that these two principles are closely related and are borne out by these verses, that of how attractive is Krishna is, and also Krishna Katha is, and also the other principle relating to the ability of such hearing and chanting to terminate all miseries of the world. We can do a little exercise here, and I don't have time to call for contributions, but you can easily, not so easily perhaps, see how these two principles, how do they connect with each other? How do they relate to each other? I would just suggest that by the fact that Krishna Katha is attracting us, then it's purifying us, and then we're relieved of a very tendency towards fruitive activities and the resulting miseries of material existence. I have a lot of other stuff to discuss, so we just have to kind of move forward. Regarding Maharaj Nimi's statement, tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence. It's in the verse. It is noteworthy that such miseries were acknowledged by him despite his, that means Maharaj Nimi's, royal facilities and possessing the ways and means to adjust such untoward, that means negative, inauspicious, painful circumstances. Now, we were brought up in a totally different mindset. I was given a book, A Child's Garden of Verses. I think it was by Robert Louis Stevenson. There's this one, you probably heard this one. I mentioned it once every 15 years when I'm giving classes. That's not too often. It says, the world is so full of a number of things. I'm sure we should all be as happy as kings. That was the whole poem. It was a sutra, a sutra by Robert Louis Stevenson. And didn't quite catch it. I mean, he didn't. That's not quite. Doesn't work. It was completely the wrong kind of hope. My parents had a book on their bookshelf. They had a lot of books, And it was called World Enough and Time. Now, just seeing that, I never read that book, but just looking at the title, it gave me some hope that, yeah, you know, there's so much opportunity in this world. The world is so big, and there's time. I have plenty of time. So it's so much, you know, doesn't work. So King Nimi was not under that foolish conception. He wasn't affected like that by material energy, although he was humbly considering himself a conditioned soul. Now we can, this is a whole exercise, we just touch on it, we can think about it. How many of you have read or at least seen and looked at the first actual book written by His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami called Vanity Karma? 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, maybe 5, 6 of you. I really like that book very, very much. It's a very good preaching tool, you can say, for those in the Judeo-Christian tradition, because the title underneath that title of Vanity Karma. Why is it called Vanity Karma? Because it's actually a study, a comparative study of Ecclesiastes, the Bhagavad Gita, and the meaning of life. That's the title, Under Vanity Karma. And Ecclesiastes is part of the Old Testament, is the scripture for Jews and Christians. And there's one character who's identified with King Solomon. His name is Kohelet. And some scholars say he was King Solomon. There's always some debate amongst the scholars. And Jayadvaita Swami doesn't just, you know, pay lip service to, you know, mention in general and just only preach the Bhagavad Gita, but he goes into very deep, lots of quotes of the leading scholar. In fact, the leading scholar of Ecclesiastes has praised the book, and it's an endorsement in the book. I can't remember the name of the scholar. So, Kohelet was in total misery, total anxiety. He had unlimited wealth. If he's King Solomon, he's supposed to be very wise. My name is Solomon. What's the heavy set of wise like that? My Karmi name. Yeah. And he's supposed to be wise, King Solomon. And he said, vanity, 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 all is vanity. He didn't mean in the sense of, like, you look in the mirror and you say, who's the fairest of them all, or something like vanity, you know, just like the way you look. I don't have that problem. But he meant it's in vain. It's in vain. Everything is in vain. Even becoming a philosopher is in vain. Even becoming wise is in vain. What to speak of, and he tried it. Kohelet tried it. He went for enjoyment. He tried the path of enjoyment. He had so many servants and animals and land and facilities and gold and this and that. He didn't have iPhones, but he had just about everything else. And it didn't work. We know why it didn't work. Because it's hackneyed. It's chewing the chewed. You get tired of it and doesn't satisfy. And not only that, but underlying it, he was intelligent enough. He was a bit of a gyani, but he had no access to Vedic understanding, so he was in total misery. He could have become a Buddhist or an existentialist, because he saw how everything was miserable, but he didn't see a solution. So Jayadvaita Swami, he goes through, if I'm not mistaken, the whole text, isn't it? I think he goes through the whole text and gives some deep commentary, quoting the scholars of how they're interpreting what Kohelet was saying. And they have different interpretations, but it all comes to the same conclusion that this man, despite his tremendous so-called wisdom and facility, was in total anxiety. You can say he was in Kunta, because he didn't know about Vaikuntha. He didn't know, he didn't have that frame of reference. So Jayadvaita Swami, he takes the, now I don't get a commission, I'm not plugging the book, you know, but he takes the corresponding solutions of Bhagavad Gita, and he connects them with one by one by one, with all the protest and the angst and the anxiety and the depression, that Kohelet is expressing in Ecclesiastes. It's a very unusual scripture, but it's I think it was so we can compare the anxiety of Maharaj Nimi with the anxiety of Kohelet, and the only comparison is they both had some anxiety, but the difference is that Maharaj Nimi, he's taking shelter of the solution, which is Krishna Katha coming in Sri Guru Parampara. In his case, he's having direct darshan with Nava Yogendra. I don't remember which, was it Antariksha is the one who's speaking in the present context. Now, in terms of the purport, okay, we still have a little time. What was the previous verse mentioned? I would say it's the last verse of the last chapter, which includes the following. When a devotee who is taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord, within, and I kind of cut myself short here, but you get the idea. So, according to Sridhar Swami, that's it. That's the conclusion. There's no need to ask questions. But let's notice the nuance here. That King Nimi, who is highly qualified as a great devotee, otherwise, and this is a quote from the purport, otherwise there would have been no question of his personally conversing with such exalted living entities as the nine Yogendras. He was inquiring about the workings of the illusory energy. In other words, in the purport, in today's purport, we're hearing how a devotee is, and the verse also, the devotee is not satiated by hearing Krishna Katha or topics of the spiritual world, etc. Or at least Atma Tattva, he is not satiated. But not only is Maharaj Nimi requesting to go on speaking Krishna Katha, but he's such a connoisseur of Krishna Katha that he can still relish Krishna Katha, which is describing Krishna, but in terms, indirectly, in terms of his material energy. So he's asking about material energy. And just like Markandeya Rishi, he wanted to see, what is this material energy? And boy, he got maybe more than he bargained for. He really, quite an experience. but it was ecstatic. So in this case also, a very advanced devotee, he can see Krishna everywhere. Even in, he sees, let me go on reading what I prepared, otherwise I'll go over time. It says, why was Maharaj Nimi interested like that? Not because he was attracted to this Maya, but rather because he had no doubt that it belongs in, and in fact ultimately emanates from Krishna. The Uttama Bhakta doesn't see anything or anyone as separate from the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many, there are some references like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8.272. Stavada Jangama Deki Nadeki Spuramurti Sarvatra Hayanija Istadeva Spurti. Basically that translates that the advanced devotee, the Uttama, he can see, not that all the Uttamas have a white cane, you know, they can't see anything, so they can't, they're blind. No, they can navigate, usually, in some cases, too much ecstasy. But they don't exactly fix or concentrate on the forms, these temporary forms. Rather, what they see around them is Krishna's energy. We can say Maya Shakti, but they see it as Krishna's energy. And seeing Krishna's energy, they feel and actually see the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I always like to repeat a little anecdote where Prabhupada's driving on Star Road Drive between Cambridge and Boston, Massachusetts. And they used to have, they don't have it anymore, They used to have a big Coca-Cola plant right on Stara Drive when you're getting into Alston, where the temple used to be in Boston. I used to live there. I had a business there. And the big sign with the typical curlicue script, you know, that impressed in our brain, Coca-Cola logos, which you travel all around the world, you can't get away from it. It's all over the place. That was a big signboard up on top of the building. And the story goes that Prabhupada looked at it and said, "Ah, Chintamani." I mean, you know, it's not exactly that Prabhupada couldn't see the sign, but for Prabhupada it was Chintamani. We see Coca-Cola, you know, bring home the Coke. Something like that. Used to have Sony. We still have advertisements for them. So, all right, we're going to start getting into some deep waters here. There's some philosophy we'll see in the few minutes we have. So this is the position of the ecstatic vision of the advanced devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he answered a inquiry from Ramananda Roy regarding his ecstatic vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. At one point in Ramananda Roy Samvada, something, that section, Ramananda Roy saying, "I'm looking at you, but I'm seeing," he actually described a golden form. But he was saying, "But I see you playing the flute, and I see lotus eyes moving here and there. What's happening to me? Why am I seeing this?" And Lord Chaitanya very deftly, very elegantly answered in a way which was reasonable, but without, you know, admitting that he was Krishna. And in the course of that answer, he was saying that a devotee like you, you see Krishna everywhere. You see everything in relation to Krishna, even me. So he was kind of... But then later on, he will reveal his identity as Radha and Krishna, manifesting both forms right in front of Ramananda Roy. Now, despite this broad vision of the Mahatma, there is still a preference to topics more directly focused on Lord Krishna. For example, Shonaka Rishi had expressed his willingness to hear about Maharaj Pariksit's chastisement of Kali, but only if that incident had a tangible connection to Lord Krishna. The context is that he was wondering, why did Maharaj Pariksit only punish Kali? Why didn't he kill him? It would have been more efficient than think of all the trouble we would be saved. The age of Kali couldn't happen without Kali. So now that's about this world. It's about a king, you know, taking care of business and dealing with his kingdom. So that would normally not be interested. So only it's describing that Shonaka Rishi would be interested in that only if it was actually related to Lord Krishna, which of course it was. As Srila Prabhupada states in his purports to Srimad Bhagavatam 116, 5 and 6, well, first let's hear the Rishi's statement. That's verse 6. Atavasya padambocha makaranda liham satam kimanyai rasadalapaya ayusho yadasatriyaha. The devotees of the Lord are accustomed to licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord. What is the use of topics which simply waste one's valuable life? Now, Prabhupada comments, although hearing about a Shudraka who was a cheat and an insulter of a cow, that's putting it mildly, was not very interesting to the great rishis, they nevertheless wanted to hear about it to see if the event had any connection with Lord Krishna. They were simply interested in the topics of Lord Krishna, for anything that is dovetailed with the narrations of Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in the Bhagavatams about sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, etc. But all of them are in relation with Krishna, and therefore all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredient in all matters. regardless of what they are. In the mundane world, everything is impure due to its being the product, a product of the three mundane qualities. The purifying agent, however, is Krishna. A little further on, the battle of Kurukshetra is full of politics and diplomacy, but because the topics are related with Lord Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita is therefore adored all over the world. There is no need to eradicate politics, economics, sociology, etc., which are mundane to the mundaners. To a pure devotee who is actually related with the Lord, such mundane things are transcendental if dovetailed with the Lord or with his pure devotees. So I have to be a little careful with this one. I have sometimes a temptation to talk about some mundane topics in the world today. I can go on for hours of that if you don't stop me. Sometimes they stop me. But I can't, like, in a perfunctory way, try to connect it with Krishna consciousness. I have to see some tangible and substantial relationship. And then perhaps I would have license to discussing those to a certain extent. There are many verses in the Shastra underlining this basic principle of the advanced devotee's ability to detect Krishna everywhere, his presence everywhere. We already heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard. I think Lord Chaitanya, did he quote that verse about that the advanced devotee, he doesn't exactly see the forms, but he, I think that was that's why I brought that in, because I think it was Lord Chaitanya that quoted that to Ramananda Roy. And you see Krishna everywhere because you're an advanced devotee. So in one of the nutshell verses, we have, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, it has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. And remember, the more advanced the devotee, it doesn't mean he wants to hear prajalpa, but the more advanced the devotee, the more he can see. I guess one devotee, actually it's Satsvarupa Maharaj. Is that your Guru Maharaj? Satsvarupa Maharaj. Sorry, that's his Guru Maharaj, Satsvarupa Maharaj. Another devotee, I won't mention name, another devotee, when I would ask questions, he'd say, my name used to be Prabhupada Das. Prabhupada Das's questions, they throw me off. They're way out. I can't deal with his questions. And I would ask the same kind of questions to Satsvarupa Maharaj, who perhaps was more advanced, but at least this is a good symptom, that he would pick out the nectar from my questions. So even if my questions seemed like it was something less than real Krishna Katha, because of my own neophyte condition. But Satsvarupa Maharaj would always find some, he would always find some nectar in it. He'd find some saving grace, and he would encourage me so much like that, and actually help me to enhance the class by finding some substance in what I was asking, some Krishna conscious aspect. And discussing it as part of his class. And then, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, a true yogi observes me, sixth chapter, observes me in all beings and sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. But one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor he is ever lost to me. Now, how does this connect with today's verse? Just to remind us that it seems like a conundrum or a paradox that Maharaj Nimi would be asking to hear about material energy. But again, because he's advanced, he sees the material energy not as temptation, but rather as a reminder of its source, Lord Sri Krishna. Now we have the famous Atmarama verse quoted in this purport. Now don't worry, we're not going to go into an 8-hour presentation of going through all the grammatical, technical analysis that Lord Chaitanya gave. I'm just going to give a little background of how Lord Chaitanya related to that verse. Several full classes could be dedicated to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendentally ingenious analyses of every word of that shloka. It's like maha water. Thank you. (Clears throat) Brahman. Okay, we heard that verse. I don't have time to repeat. You know the Atmarama verse. We heard the translation already. And now to simply recount how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had first explained this verse in 18 different manners to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's what we'll do now. We'll just simply recount this. And he converted the Bhattacharya from a great monistic logician into a great pure devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later referred again to this verse as he instructed Sanatan Goswami, this time analyzing it in 61 different ways. And still later, he yet again cited it during his preaching to the staunch Mayavadi scholar and renunciant, Prakashananda Saraswati. I got you on that one. On that occasion, when the Maharashtriya Brahmin mentioned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had previously explained the verse in 61 different ways, all those present expressed great eagerness to hear them all. So the Lord fulfilled their request by again expounding his superhuman comprehension of that important shloka. Okay, now this is where we're going to go into. We only have 10 minutes left. All right, I'll just have to kind of just speak more generally than I was planning on. There is, if you will, maybe I can get through this if I just read. There is, if you will, a metaphysical basis underlying the prime importance of shravanam, hearing, even when compared with the other eight principal kinds of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada has taught us the principle of vayagyana. For instance, in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 6.8.30, quote, the Lord is called Advaya Gyan, indicating that there is no difference between him and his names, forms, qualities, weapons, and so on. Anything pertaining to him is in the same category of spiritual existence. That's why the Lord tells Narada Muni, how does that verse go? And that I'm not present in the heart of the yogis, I'm not present in Vaikuntha. Where am I present? Where my devotees are chanting my glories. Of course, that Advaya Gyan, the glorification of the Lord, is not different from him. But this principle is described in the second chapter of Harinam Chintamani, is extended to the entire spiritual realm. Now, this is why it's good. You should all ask to give classes, and hopefully, if you have some qualification, you'll be allowed to do so. The advantage of giving classes is that you're always learning something new. You're always, you know, it's like, ah. So I had a kind of eureka moment yesterday and this morning, because I learned something new from Harinam Chintamani, which relates to this philosophical point here about Advaya Gyan. In other words, it's not only that the Lord and his attributes are non-different. But in the spiritual world, that distinction between the name and the form and the quality and the thing itself just doesn't exist. So it's more general. It's the whole spiritual world is like that. That Advaya Gyan applies to the whole spiritual abode. Let me read from Harinam Chintamani, quote, this is from the second chapter. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has Srila Haridas Thakur explain. In spiritual existence, name, form, quality, and activity are not differentiated from the person's actual identity. But by combination with dull material elements which are not conscious, the covered living entity knows only names, qualities, forms, and activities which are separate from one another and from his real self. You see how it's more general. Name, form, qualities, and activities are one for the pure living entities, but taking shelter of a material body, the jiva distinguishes differences. Since Krishna is always beyond material tinge, all these elements are eternally parts of one inseparable principle. Now, from the philosophical point of view, we can consider how there appears to be a different sort of metaphysics prevailing in the spiritual reality. In other words, in philosophy, you hear about the medieval metaphysicians and the scholastics in Christian context, and they're trying to understand categories. What is name? What is motion? What is perception? What is form? Etc. They're trying to understand categories, and are these things like a Platonic reality beyond the specifics, or is it just a name applied? But then there's a whole, they have all these debates about that. But there's a whole different kind of metaphysics in spiritual reality, as we're just hearing, that these categories are not different from what they're categorizing, what they, the specific, and the item and its attributes are one. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Tattva Vivek has noted how logic also functions differently in the context of material contamination as opposed to that of pure spiritual understanding. I think he called it mixed logic and pure logic. Now, continuing the quote from Harinam Chintamani, however, among these four elements, that means the name, quality, activity, form, by which one can know the object of Krishna, the holy name is the primary element, for it is by the same, by the name that all other characteristics can be perceived in full. As one can realize the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord by taking shelter of the name is thus accepted as the Vaishnav Dharma. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalo, kalo nasteva, 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 tattirangyam. Now, at the beginning, to finish, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, entitled The Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Maharaj Parikshit asks how the Vedas can directly describe the Absolute Truth. Or in other words, how can sounds of this world access the transcendence? Well, the Vedas are not exactly sounds of this world. We have in Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, Asya Mahato Bhutasya Nishvashitam Itadyad Digvedo Yajurveda Samaveda Tarvangira Saha. The four Vedas, namely the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Atharva Veda, are all emanations from the breathing of the Great Personality of Godhead. And as we have all heard many times, the holy name is particularly suffused with spiritual potency. As explained by Narottam Das Thakur, Golokeda Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The only remedy is Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is imported from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And I'll open up for a very brief period of questions. My policy is very simple. When the class is supposed to end, which is according to my watch, my watch is a little fast, so we have 5 minutes. So when we reach the actual moment of, in this case, 9 o'clock, then everyone can go. You can go. Don't get nervous. You can just go. You can offer pranams, obeisances, and go and take prasad. And if there are any few that want to stay and ask questions and have discussions, I'm at your service to try to field these questions. We'll get into that. So let me just end with a verse that just at the very end, before I came here, I remembered a verse that I had on a card, but I have it in Trinidad, and I won't bring it with me. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.5, and this kind of gives us a hint about this deep mystery of spiritual sound and how it's non-different from the absolute, and how it's not like material sound. Pravishta kana randrena svanam bhava suroruham dunoti samalam krishna salilasya yatha sharat. Translation. This is Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadev Goswami. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, and in brackets, Prabhupada says, in other words, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, that's all included in the word svanam, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Purifying effect. Okay. So, should I read the verse again? Why not? So much time. Although, this is Maharaj Nimi speaking, although I am drinking the nectar of your statements about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my thirst is not yet satiated. Such nectarian descriptions of the Lord and his devotees are the actual medicine for the conditioned souls like me who are tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence. And if I'm not mistaken, Maharaj Nimi had specifically asked to hear about Maya, hear about the material energy and its function. So that we discussed. Thank you for your kind attention. Does anyone have any question or comment they'd like to make at this point? Madan Mohan Prabhu. Is there a microphone for this gentleman?
Was shudam and apapa vidam, which means in a word for word.
Shudam apapa vidam. Antiseptic and prophylactic.
You were the classes, antiseptic and prophylactic.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Pran Govindapur.
The 7th chapter, 53 verse, famous verse also. Mayam Varnayo Amasya Ishvarasya Anunada. Srila Prabhupada writes that if we discuss about Maya, we will be entangling Maya. If we discuss Krishna's Maya, we will be liberated from Maya. It's very interesting.
That perfectly relates to the point I was trying to make. That how Maharaj Nimi, and such an advanced devotee, why didn't want to hear about Maya? Because he's not just hearing about Maya. Let me tell me all about Maya. That would be Kajalpa. That would be Brahmya Katha, or worse. Rather, he wants to hear about Krishna's Maya. What is it? Guna Mayi. Krishna says it's my Maya. Mama Maya. That's the whole point. So specifically, there are so many things, and we mentioned the example of Maharaj Parikit chastising Kali. There are so many things which are specifically seem to be of this world, which if they are really connected with Krishna, or if one has the realization how it's connected with Krishna, it's not prajalpa, it's not degrading, it's elevating. At the same time, the whole thing collectively, in other words, Maya, the whole illusory energy of the Lord, can also, to hear about Maya in terms of that energy in general, can also be uplifting if it's understood, not like the modern scientists, they are completely absorbed in describing Maya, isn't it? But it's not elevating. But whereas Nimi, Maharaj Nimi, he wanted to understand Krishna's Maya. Thank you.
In the Parvat, Maharaj, something got attracted to me that Prabhupada writes the new fight things.
The what?
New fight devotees thinks that Krishna's dealing with the gopis is very important. But as for Krishna's creation, the material nature is not as important.
That's in the purport that you're referring to.
In the purport, Prabhupada.
That you're referring to. Not today's purport, but that purport.
2750. I thought it was very interesting. Prabhupada said a pure devotee never see any difference between material nature's relationship with the Lord, serving to the Lord, and the gopis with the Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna in Kurukshetra and the pastime is not to be considered less than Krishna dancing with the gopi. But then, if one goes to a higher tattva, then there's some distinction is made, but for all intents and purposes, we, and I'm speaking for myself, in our stage or in my stage, we shouldn't obsess with that more esoteric distinction. We should understand the general principle that Krishna Katha is all good. We follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Nimi. Yes, how does this Maya work? How does this Maya of Krishna work? That's the point. Not just like the modern scientists. How does it work all by itself? All right, we have now Trivikram Prabhu.
Just like
you're not going to ask you something. I remember in the past years you used to ask scary questions. You put the speaker like on edge or something. Let's see what happens. If I can handle this.
So Markandeya had wanted to see how the illusionary energy worked.
Markandeya Rishi.
And somehow it stated that he stayed in this material world for 7 kalpas. Not 1 kalpa, 7 kalpas. 1 kalpa is a day of Brahma. So for 7 days of Brahma he stayed and see. I mean, you can imagine that.
What
did you? I mean, did you hear about that, or were you aware of that?
Well, it should be published in the newspaper. Markandeya Rishi stayed in this world for 7 kalpas.
I was trying to.
The big news item.
You know, that's. Yeah, you know.
It's impressive.
You know what that means? He had to be in that ocean of devastation 7 times. You know, and
but what to speak of Lord Brahma himself?
Now his situation is a different. Markandeya was actually swimming in that ocean.
Yeah, he was able to keep his head above water. There are different levels of
incomprehensible.
The activities of the very advanced sages, devotees, they're really quite astounding in relationship to Lord Madan Mohan again.
Since it's Srimad Bhagavatam class and we're being trained in the Srimad Bhagavatam and we're in the sadhana stage of Bhakti Yoga for the most part, and it says etava eva jignatvam, so that the sadhana verses, the nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam are saying that you take everything and you connect it to Krishna, both directly and indirectly. So the directly is knowing how to use it in Krishna's service, and indirectly is how to not get involved in the process of nescience. You know, knowing.
I would say I would take it a little differently. That's anvaya vyaparika abhyam. That's anvaya is directly, and vyaparika abhyam is indirectly. So I would take it in the getting back to your mention of Ishopanishad, how one should study both the illusory energy and the transcendent side by side, et cetera, to reap the benefits of nectar of immortality. In other words, the indirectly is like when I read something about, this is a controversial topic, when I read something about Darwinian evolution or something, that's very, really indirectly. But it helps me become a stronger theist. So that's indirectly studying this in the history of theology. It's called natural theology, studying the material world and then seeing evidence of God by looking at the material world. So that would be indirect. And directly is, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, direct topics, more personally, directly, you know. But the more advanced devotee, it just cuts to the chase. He sees so many topics would, for many of us, would seem distinct from Krishna Katha or Hari Katha. And he immediately, without having to go through a whole intellectual exercise, he immediately feels, not only sees, but feels the connection, and therefore he sees Krishna everywhere.
Because it always ends with Avarujite in the second verse. It says, by this cultivation of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is compact, established within the heart.
Becomes compact within the heart. Avarujyati.
So that's where this study that we're studying Bhagavatam, getting it directly, we're seeing how to connect everything to Krishna. Like you said, Krishna's Maya. Mm. It's not just Maya, it's Krishna's Maya, and we're understanding how it works. So, I pointed out Trish Panchav, it's 11, You have Ashmite.
Right. Well, we have to go on hearing. That's the point. We have to go on hearing and become purified in the process. Thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.